on 702.
It has just gone, 16 minutes to 9 o'clock. Now, President Cyril Ramaphosa says investors are already pouring billions of dollars into the South African economy just a few months after launching his investment drive. He said this during his keynote address at the 2019 Invest in Africa Mining Indaba, which is now in its second day in Cape Town. The president says South Africa is well on its way to reaching $100 billion in foreign investment. That is, of course, the target he set in 2018. He also addressed concerns held by mining companies and investors in the sector around electricity prices and supply, as well as South Africa's land reform plans. Well, joining me on the line to reflect on the two-day of the world's largest mining investment conference is Frans Baleni, the former General Secretary of the National Union of Mine Workers. Mr. Baleni, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Ms. Brown, and to the listeners.
Now, of course, Mr. Kutifani yesterday from Anglo American did not mince his words. He basically said if mining is to be a successful operation in South Africa, they need security of electricity supply and that Eskom needs to come to the party. President Ramaphosa today tried to deal with those issues and, of course, also spoke about it. Let's take a listen quickly to what the president said and then talk about the reality of the fact that Eskom actually has to undergo major reform, but you're going to need a lot of stakeholder buy-in.
Our land reform program under Stibling on this issue, concern has been raised about the proposal that came from the governing parties conference about expropriation of land without compensation to be amongst the mechanisms that will be used to promote land reform. We must emphasize that our approach to this matter will enhance rather than undermine property rights, because we seek to address what we have termed the original sin that was committed against black South Africans during colonial and apartheid days.
That is, of course, President Ramaphosa speaking about land, an issue that is a big deal for investment. Let's listen to him speak specifically about Eskom.
We have been giving detailed attention to the crisis and the challenges that our electricity company Eskom is facing. Eskom is currently facing significant operational, financial and structural challenges. Its contribution to the health of our economy is just far too great for it to be allowed to fail. Eskom is just too important, and in a number of ways, it is too big also to be made to fail. And we will not allow Eskom to fail. Restoring the energy security for the country is an absolute imperative. This government is going to resolve and solve the energy problem that has been given rise to by the challenges that Eskom is facing. So you can be rest assured that we are going to address this problem. In the coming few days, we will be announcing a package of measures to stabilize as well as to improve Eskom's financial, operational, as well as structural position and to ensure security of energy supply for the economy and for the country and also for your sector, the mining industry. This we are going to do because it is far too important to be allowed to fail.
Far too important allowed to be failed. Mr. Baleni, you have a great deal of insight into the need for a secure pipeline around energy and electricity for mines. You've also been involved in that sector for a long time. There's a proposal in front of us. We don't know the details yet. One suspects that the president is going to make it an announcement of SONA that Eskom must be broken up. Is it something that you support? And more importantly, how is the president going to allay the fear of the unions that fear job losses as a consequence of the restructuring of Eskom?
Yeah, Karima, please feel free to call me Franz. Let's not be formal. I'm restricted on the Eskom matter, as you know, my other care.
Yes.
And therefore, I would want to leave that part, as the president has indicated, on the package of measures which is about to be announced.
Mm.
One can speak general that there have been concerns raised in terms of the mining in Durban, where the producers have raised serious concerns about the high tariffs as applied by Eskom, and indicating the implications thereof.
Mm.
And therefore, I'm sure that as part of the president and the NERSA, those things will be considered and be attended to an extent that the concerns are considered.
Mm-hmm. Now, nurses obviously going around the country to get input from people around Eskom's request for a 15% increase, which they have shot down. Now, there are energy experts, people like Ted Blom and others, that say, firstly, the coal producers are overcharging Eskom, and Eskom in return is overcharging municipalities. And that big business has historically gotten a rebate on electricity prices on the condition that they create jobs. But it obviously didn't work like that. Was the discussion honest enough to admit that it's not just Eskom that is part of the problem, but also the mining companies that doesn't necessarily bring their part of the business, particularly if one look at the kind of job losses that we've had in the sector, Mr. Baleni?
I can only limit my comments to the discussions which unfolded at the mining in Durban. And not on the other head. Clearly, there are concerns about the relationship between the coal producers and Eskom and subcontractors, truckers. So there is a number of concerns which has to be resolved by the relevant stakeholders.
Mm.
For example, producers would say Eskom don't accept what you think is reasonable. On the other hand, Eskom would say there is high fees charged by producers, especially the spot producers where Eskom has to at short notice call for more coal, and those people take full advantage. And then you must know that, as it was said in this money in Durban, there has been a period of looting.
Yes.
So that is also complicated things,
yes,
and so on. And I'm sure all these things will be unpacked, but I'm just referring to what was raised in the money in Durban.
Now, of course, the whole point of the government is to try and turn Eskom around. And, of course, it supplies more than 90% of South Africa's power, but it's drowning in debt. Its debt is 420 billion rand. And, of course, that places the fiscus at risk and it places the entire economy at risk. So I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot. I know because of your position on this committee, you can't speak about it. But it is clear, Mr. Baleni, that Eskom cannot continue in the old way, isn't it?
Look, I can't comment on that. You have to listen to what I listened to what the CEO of Eskom said in this mining in Durban, where he has indicated that Eskom has no money and all those things. He raised a number of concerns and showed numbers. So these are the things which I'm sure the relevant authority must take into account, including the report which would have been submitted by at the minister and yes. the relevant team members, yes.
Yeah. Now, we haven't got a lot of time, obviously, to solve this problem because investors must make up their mind. And if they're not certain that we can give them security of electricity supply, they can go to other countries. They can decide, let's go and invest in our money in Mexico or in Turkey or whatever. So you don't have a lot of time. What kind of time frames are you putting on us knowing how Eskom is going to be rescued? The president was very emphatic in that speech, and this is the first time that the president of South Africa is actually addressing a mining Indaba. He said Eskom is too big to fail. It cannot fail, which means that you are thinking out of the box. You are considering drastic measures because drastic measures is required. We can't continue in the same old way.
Look, I can only take from what the president has said at the mining endeavor, where he has made a commitment that there's a package of how to resolve the challenges in relation to Eskom. And all of us have to look forward
To what's in that package.
These measures the president has referred to in the relevant platform. The bottom line is that we are all anxious as relevant stakeholders to ensure that Eskom is attended to. We all know that Eskom is sick.
Yeah.
So therefore, it has to be made to be in good health in various forms and shape. And let's wait for the president through his message of packages so that that can be resolved.
Now, of course, the president is very well known for wanting to do what he calls social compacting, which is put all the stakeholders into a room, negotiate it out, and come out with an agreement. Is that going to be how this package is going to be introduced, or is it going to be a done deal? This is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to work. Or is it going to be referred back to structures where people will still have to hammer it out?
I beg your pardon?
What I'm saying is that the president loves to do social compacting, putting the different stakeholders into a room and getting them to sort things out. When he makes this announcement of the package of measures, Mr. Baleni, will it be a final thing, as in this is how it will work, or will it still have to be hammered out in that social compact?
When solutions are provided, clearly, in the normal evolution of matters of that nature, there's a requirement of final meeting and all those things. And if you have listened to the president carefully, he focused on stakeholder engagement.
Yes.
He spent a lot of time of saying, let's involve stakeholders, communities, organized labor, and you name it. And I'm sure whatever plans will be presented, there's a desire to ensure that there's proper engagement.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the president has made it very clear, we don't have luxury of time. So
yes.
that we can spend months and years engagement without finding solution before something collapses.
Absolutely. I mean, there has to be a sense of urgency, but we know the unions are suspecting that there will be job losses. Some analysts have said if the unions embrace the change, and particularly if you talk about independent power producers, you could create new jobs. You could have a different way of looking at things, particularly if you put it in the context of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But the unions involved seem to have a very inward-looking approach, Mr. Baleni, and they don't want to hear much about the changes. All they're interested in is, will they lose jobs or won't they lose jobs? They're not looking at the big picture. I've interviewed many of them. How are you going to get the unions to buy into a process that might hurt at first, but in the long term actually be beneficial to workers in that sector?
Look, any union which would celebrate a job losses is not a union.
Yes.
And my attitude is that union must come up with creative approaches.
Yes.
For example, we are confronted with the fourth industrial revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stand next to a bus stop and say, I don't want it.
Yes.
And you end there. We must be able to, the union must be able to say, how best can we embrace this fourth industrial revolution and turn it around to benefit us and make it to have African characteristics. Same applies like this. How do they, the union must also convey a message to say, how best can we channel the engagement to an extent that we minimize job losses? At the same time, we don't close a shop. Sometimes it's important to lose a limb rather than dying, because there's a diabetic, you can cut that part of a foot or a leg to save your life.
So all right.
These are the conversations which must be engaged by all the parties.
Absolutely. And of course, it's going to be quite tough. Thank you very much. That's the former General Secretary of the National Union of Mine Workers, Mr. Frans Baleni, who is a key player in the way in which this matter is going to be resolved.